The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
So underrated.
Radio X. This is the Evening Show podcast with Gordon Smart and Vinnie Joshi.
Hello.
You don't often get called by your proper name. Is that because I let light into some kind of secret?
It makes me nervous, that, to hear the whole thing. It just sounds like I'm in trouble, you know?
Vinnie Joshi.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear, dear. Well, the Evening Show podcast...
Don't go under the bed.
Was that your hiding place of choice?
It wasn't.
No.
I'm not going to tell you where it was.
Okay, yeah. Still a secret. Still might use it. I give that secret away. Right, Ardula Hanlon is on the show this afternoon. I think for both of us, Vin, you know, you're a big comedy expert as well. I know you're really into it. But it kind of feels like he was of my generation of comedians, you know, people that
I
came through.
I think that's definitely a thing. I mean, I remember watching Father Ted, but it was a bit adult for me at the time. I don't think I got all of it.
Yeah.
But my hero, I don't think my hero is better than Father Ted. But my hero was like a really... I remember watching it with my mum and dad. Yeah. It was like a nice
family telly, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Really good
at
that.
But he's a great stand-up, isn't he?
He's a cracking stand-up. Yeah, he's really well respected. And he's got 47 dates to talk about. He is on the Evening Show podcast today. Depeche Mode as well, Monday night, classic album, Violator. I've got this image in my head now. Somebody sent us a picture of a tattoo on their arm in red.
It's amazing.
It was an amazing tattoo. Some bit of kit, but it must have been a sore one on the inside of the arm.
What a great name for an album as
it's
well.
It's good, isn't it? Really good name. So Violator was our classic album, and there's plenty of other bits and bobs, so please enjoy the Evening Show podcast.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
You are listening to Radio X. I'm Gordon Smart. I've got a great guest today. I'm really excited about this. I've been waiting about 30 years to interview the man in front of me right now. What a career he's had as well. Death in Paradise at the moment. He was in Father Ted, of course. My Hero, nominated for Olivier Awards nonetheless. He won a British Comedy Award. He's done an awful lot. BAFTA, I think, he's even got on his mantelpiece. Ardula O'Hanlon is in the studio. Hello, Ardula.
Oh, hello there. You never mentioned the medals I won for swimming when I was 7. Yes.
They're the ones that count, Ardula.
Doesn't get any better than that.
It's lovely to see you. Reason you're here today is because you've got a 47-day tour, which is about to start, but you're on the warm-up process at the moment.
Yeah.
How warm are you, Ardula?
I'm pretty warm now. Yeah, I'm getting there. Yes, I was in the hot spot that is Somerset for the last couple of nights. And
right.
Glastonbury and Street, these towns that may not mean an awful lot to people, except in Somerset. But they were fantastic. I mean, just so warm and lovely. And, you know, it's cooking.
How many people are you playing to at the moment then for a warm-up?
I think there was about 150 in Glastonbury. Like, I wasn't in a huge field.
Right. like an empty pyramid
that's
stage.
That's the image that comes to mind when people mention Glastonbury. It was a beautiful little art centre in a light industrial park.
Nice. Right. Sounds good. Best place to test it on a West Country audience then.
Yeah.
And it's called The Showing Off Must Go On.
Yes.
That's right. Because, listen, we come from a similar sort of background and showing off just isn't acceptable, is it really?
It's terrible. I mean, it really allowed. Is the worst thing. You know, I mean, when I told my parents I was doing stand-up comedy, I mean, they really went into a kind of shock, which they haven't really come out of. I mean, it's just a big no-no. Like this is genuinely true. The people... in my town, like, they won't wear high-vis vests, workmen, in case people think they're showing off, like, oh, look at him, he just wants everyone to see him holding the stop-go sign, you know?
Yeah, and he gets run over.
You know, like, it's just, like, nobody would wear anything flamboyant growing up. It was all monochrome and monotone. You don't even express yourself in a colourful way.
Right. So is your entire career kind of been an awkward dilemma, then, of forcing yourself to the front?
Well,
I just feel uncomfortable.
It's a bit of a conflict. I mean, I still feel it now. I feel like a fraud. I feel like a stupid show-off. Everyone hates me, you know. But you've got this, like, you get this impulse, you know, this compulsion to just, you know, just to say funny things. And
You're from a border town as well. So what a brilliant time to be an Irish comic going on stage, because the world's imploding at the moment and Ireland seems to be kind of at the heart of it. So is it going to be quite political?
Yeah,
this
thanks for bringing that up, Gordon. It's so, all our fault.
Yeah. Well,
the stubborn old Irish again with a stupid backstop. You know, of course, you can't ignore the elephant in the room when you're on tour around Britain. But, you know, you have to find a way of doing it where, you know, you're not like trying to nail your own political colours to a particular mast or anything like that. You're trying to figure out what's going on and what people want. And I think it's about emotions, it's about feelings, it's about needs and things. And
it's a movable feast as well, right? You're 47 days, so things will change massively during the time you're on the road, so you'll have to alter your material.
Well, I'm doing it in two legs, so my first leg finishes on the just before the 29th of March. So the first part is fine. Nothing dramatic is going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen in the autumn. I might have to rewrite the entire tour. But it's only a small part of it. Like, I'm talking about change generally. You know, there's this tremendous desire for change. So you're talking about all the things like, you know, from the absolute trivial, which are most of my concerns are very trivial. I should stress that, you know, like it's like I was in Wells yesterday in the West Country and, you know, I was in a cafe and I was given a square cup. Like,
why?
You know, have you ever drank from a square cup?
Like, no.
Not one drop of the tea went into my mouth. You know, and this is, you know, there are things that don't need to change. Yeah. You know, I got my dinner on a slate. I got my ploughman's lunch on a piece of slate. You know, when did that become a thing? You know, so things, you know, certain things don't need to change. Plates and cups and Britain's membership of the EU. So, you know, it's kind of, you know, you talk about your petty concerns, you know, the concerns of a middle-aged man. I mean, yes. You know, and we have a lot of concerns and... I'm really interested in people acting their age and all that kind of thing. So, you know, I cover a lot of subjects.
Arnold, would you do us a favour and pick us a song on Radio X? Now, I believe you've got good taste in music. I've been told this.
What about LCD Sound System?
Well, you are talking to the right two people here, one of Vin's favourite bands. Let's give that a spin, shall we? LCD Sound System, just for Arnold Hanlon on Radio X.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Arnold, I've waited, I'd say, 25 years to meet you properly. I've tried to bump into you a couple of times in Edinburgh back in the day to mither you and hassle you as a drunk man, and then I'm glad I didn't, because that's ruined so many special moments with the likes of Bob Mortimer, where people assume they know you because they've been a part of their lives. Does that just regularly freak you out when people come up and speak to you as if you know them? Are you always searching for their names? Do I know you?
Yeah, there's a touch of that. I mean, you know, a lot of people will come up and go, "Ah, hiya," and they'll start talking to you, and then about a minute later they just go, "Oh, sorry." You know, sorry, yeah, no, I just, yeah. I know you now, I know who I'm talking. But it's never really a big problem. I mean, I live in Dublin a lot of the time, and you know, people are so familiar anyway, like, you know, everyone knows someone who knows you, and like they know everything about you. So, you know, there's no escaping that.
It's a really welcoming thing. I think Scotland's quite similar, where you don't need to know somebody to have a conversation. But in London, you do that with a Scottish or Irish accent. Somebody thinks you're at it. You know, you're
muggling, asking for money.
Now, Arnold, can I ask you about your? You can have the choice here: worst gig or the best or worst heckle.
Well, the worst gig. There was a few terrible gigs when I moved to London first in the '90s, mid '90s. Purely to do stand-up. That was my only interest in life at the time. And so you would do every gig that you were offered. And I remember doing one in Basildon in Essex, in a cinema complex. So I was given a plug-in mic. You used to get these old microphones, like with a three-pin socket.
Aye.
Three-pin plug at the end of it. And you were just given the microphone and told to plug that into the wall and start talking. And so you had like three cinemas, cinema 1, 2 and 3. You had people coming and going from all three of them, and then you had a few people in Motorhead t-shirts like playing fruit machines.
Yeah.
And you had me in the corner, like literally mumbling, and not one person looked at me.
Oh.
You know, so you kind of remember those ones really clearly. Now, you know, you don't blame yourself for that. Like, that wasn't my fault, Gordon.
No, definitely not.
That was just a poorly planned gig.
Radio X. Gordon Smart. Radio X.
Blossoms and Cool Like You on Radio X. They played at Transmit last summer on a glorious, glorious warm day in Glasgow, which is about as common as rocking horse droppings, let me tell you that. The lineup has been announced for Transmit this summer, though, which is happening 12th to the 14th of July. And I can tell you, on the Sunday night, you can see Snow Patrol and George Ezra. On the Friday, Stormzy and Jerry Cinnamon. But on the Saturday night, it's all about this mob. Catfish and the Bottlemen. So Saturday the 13th of July in Glasgow at Transmit, they will be headlining. New album as well, and they've been off cutting their teeth playing with Green Day in America, so getting back onto British soil and playing huge shows. That is some lineup though. Friday night though, Jerry Cinnamon on Home Toil, that will be massive. And then Sunday as well, a lot of our bands there, Tom Grennan, The Amazons, Wombats, Cooks as well. So go and have a look at Transmit if you've never been before. It's right in the city centre of Glasgow. It is wild. Maybe Glastonbury's not for you, too far to travel. Have a weekend in Glasgow and re-educate yourself with music fans. It is wild. So remember, Transmit 12th to the 14th of July. and you can get your tickets from Friday, 9 o'clock. Transmitfest.com if you want to go and have a look, and that's TRNSMT. Take all the vowels out. Fest.com.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X. Right, we've been promising this one tonight, and already a lot of people getting in touch because it means an awful lot to a lot of listeners this evening. Our classic album is from Depeche Mode, Violator, going back to March 1990. That makes it 29 years old. How about that? It was Depeche Mode's seventh album. Now, casting my mind back to 1990 as well, I've got some really vivid memories of that year. It was a World Cup year. Top of the Pops meant an awful lot to me at that time, and I remember just thinking, who are these otherworldly individuals producing this amazing noise from my telly? What a band Depeche Mode are. And also, every time we got around to February in the year when I worked at the newspaper, I'd be hit with all these emails and contact from Depeche Mode fans saying, why have they not been acknowledged with the Brits Lifetime Achievement Award? Their contribution to music in this country is huge. What a set of talented lads they are. So, this album, Depeche Mode's Violator, propelled them to international stardom. Got to number 2 in Britain, made number 7 in America, has since gone platinum 3 times, which is a huge achievement. Think of these tracks as well. Enjoy the Silence, Personal Jesus, World in My Eyes, Policy of Truth, Sweetest Perfection, some brilliant songwriting on it. And the success of Violator introduced the band to a much wider audience as well, a global audience. Andy Fletcher, the character on keys, he said, before this, we'd been going along quite nicely. Then when it came to Violator, we inexplicably went huge. Being modest there, it's great songwriting. The band recorded the album differently to previous records. They followed the formula of recording demos, having extensive pre-production meetings. That's how they used to do it, but this time round, they decided their first record of the 90s should be recorded with no planning, or less planning anyway. So Martin Gore, the guitarist, he wrote a load of demos, kept them sparse and a bit looser. That meant the band could change the tempo, change the style, and get the real feel of the songs much more easily. Here's another little thing that made a difference. They relocated to Milan for a number of reasons, mainly because I think they wanted to enjoy themselves, because as we all know, they're not quiet retiring types and they enjoy a night out. Producer Flood said, the idea was to work hard and party hard. We all enjoyed ourselves to the full. I think that kind of sums up the life of Depeche Mode, actually. NME said, seems almost a step back in that it's cleaner, sparser, more clinical. Security in the knowledge that everything is very clear-cut in Depeche Mode's blue and white world. What a lovely description that is. Let me know what you think of it as well. 83936 and at Radio X. Tell me what Violator means to you. So here's a little treat for you. Two tunes back to back for our classic album. I've got Enjoy the Silence in a second, but right now, the epic, the classic, Personal Jesus.
The Evening Show, classic album of the week.
X.
Reach out, touch faith.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X. The name of the song has just come back to me as well. I think it was Binary Finery's version of that. Unbelievable stuff. Enjoy the Silence there. Second tune from Violator, which was released in 1990, their seventh album, Depeche Mode. That was their second single, initially written as a slow ballad, can you believe? The B-side's a re-recorded version, created to sound like that first demo. Go and check that out as well. It's amazing. Started off with Personal Jesus, which was the lead single, the first top 40 hit they had in 5 years. So if you think about it, there was a bit of pressure on them at the time. It was a massive hit in Germany, which was a bit of a surprise to them, but you can understand why when you think of the remixes. Inspired by Priscilla Presley's book about Elvis, the initial demo was a lot more bluesy before the band adapted it, and it became one of Depeche Mode's first songs to feature a dominant guitar part. What a move it was. How about that for a song in the background? Policy of Truth, the only Depeche Mode song to chart higher in the US than it did in the UK. Guitarist Martin Gore said the band called the album Violator as a joke. We wanted to come up with the most extreme, ridiculous heavy metal title that we could. I'll be surprised if people will get the joke. I think we do, don't we? A lovely response from you tonight as well. Brian Cashin got in touch. Underrated classic is perfection. Stephen as well. It's his favourite album ever. Tracy Davis, my Teenage Angst soundtrack. And Stephen on Twitter as well, just to prove how much he loves it, has sent us a picture of a full-length tattoo on his right arm in red, not black, of Violator artwork. Absolutely amazing stuff.
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
We had a League of Gentlemen recently and watched their show, and it was quite a lot of it scripted and rehearsed, obviously, but they did talk about how life had changed on the road for them, and it was quite funny to hear how the different members had different expectations of life on the road. So the quality of the crisps, for instance, have improved quite a lot. Yeah. How has life changed on the road for you, do you think, in the last 20 years?
I mean, I shouldn't tell you. I mean, it's just so dull. I was just thinking about this the other night. I actually did something on stage about it. Like, I end up playing Scrabble on my phone on my own in the evening, like being both players, like player one and player two. Like, that's how tragic it is, you know. And the worst thing is, like, and this is true, and it's just so sad. It's like I favor player two, so I literally try and put myself off when it's player one's going, right, so it's player two will win. And this is like player one always wins.
You okay to stick around a little bit longer, Ardal?
Sure.
Good man. More from Ardal at Highland on Radio X in just a second.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Tell you what, the veterans are getting creative with their gigs. The Chillies are playing Giza at the Pyramid, unbelievably. And I think Noel Gallagher today has announced quite an interesting gig as well. He will be playing the London Palladium for the first time, which is the home of Variety. Some amazing artists, all the way from Stan and Ollie, all the way through to Noel Gallagher, playing at a very famous venue. Those dates are beginning to look quite exciting, actually. He's got Edinburgh dates, Llandudno, Hull, all over the country, all seated as well. So go and check out those ticket sales, Monday the 18th of February from 10 o'clock. Maybe go and see him at London Palladium. Anyway, while we're talking about Noel, I thought we would mention the fact that he's the consummate professional. Here he is explaining that. Somebody told me that you have never missed a soundtrack in your entire career. Is that correct?
No, I've never missed. No, only when I've a couple of times I've had to pull gigs, and then yeah, no. There's no excuse for not sound checking. You owe it to the people who've bought tickets, I think, to at least give it a go. But I like sound checking.
Yeah, it's interesting to watch. You did what, about seven songs there, something like that.
We do songs we don't do in the set. Right. Like some of those songs that we played there, we won't do in the set tonight. And we just tried to change it up a bit. I mean, I'm actually thinking whether we should play those songs tonight or not. I might drop that on the band in a minute, see what they say. But yeah, I do like sound checking. I used to really love sound checking when we was in Oasis. That was just because we would have some long kind of freeform jamming, man, which used to be good. But this is great. Yeah.
What was the pre-gig ritual like for the High Flying Birds as opposed to Oasis?
Mine now is what? So it's five. Now I would be eating. In catering, and then depending on if I have a tour bus or not. If I have a tour bus, after that I'd probably go on the tour bus and listen to the radio maybe, or put the telly on. Today we're just going to sit here and eat pizza, I think. I start to get in the mood about an hour before. I've got a little acoustic guitar in a room and I pretend to warm up. I don't usually do much warming up. Warming up usually means having a drink and noodling around an acoustic guitar for a bit.
That was Noel Gallagher speaking to us at the Watford Coliseum before he took the stage just for us here at Radio X. Very special room that as well. It's where they recorded the soundtrack to Star Wars, no less. Anyway, remember those tickets for Noel's tour go on sale Monday the 18th of February, and that is 10 o'clock in the morning. Some great dates on there, including the London Palladium.
Radio X. Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
This is Radio X. I'm Gordon Smart with Ardal O'Hanlon, who is about to go on a 47-date tour of the UK. When you look at 47 dates, do you think, oh, that's a lot of work? Or do you think, here we go, out the house, off for a bit of fun?
Yeah, no, it's daunting when you see the list of dates ahead of you. But I'm looking forward to it, you know. I mean, I don't think I'd be doing it if I didn't really want to do it, you know. Yeah. It's like... it's been about 5 or 6 years since I toured properly. In that time, I've been always like thinking about stand-up, trying to like figure out like what to say, what to do. You know, I've been trying it out at clubs, and you know, and when it all comes together, you know, you're really like genuinely very, very excited, and it seems very urgent. You know, there's a lot of stuff to talk about.
Yeah. Do you clip your wings then? Do you behave yourself in order to sort of stay fresh and on your toes?
Well, you do, but you know, you definitely have to go out a couple of nights a week. Like so we do know the curry houses around the country. you know the best curry houses, and Sunday lunchtime is a bit of an institution. We find the best pub within a 40-mile radius of the gig that night. Might try and squeeze in a football match if we're passing. But that's kind of about it, you know. You might watch a few, you know, box set or something in the evening. But you know, it's It's boring, man.
Now, I've got to ask you this. Our boss here is a massive Death in Paradise fan, right? I'm a massive Father Ted fan. Vin was a particular fan of My Hero. Of all the things you've done, Ardal, is there one that stands out for you as a personal favourite?
I mean, Father Ted, I would have to say, was such a big deal for me because it was the first show I was ever in. You know, I was a jobbing stand-up in London at the time when I was kind of plucked from obscurity, if you like, and plunged into that role. So, you know, I have a huge soft spot for that. Yeah. And you know, plus it's quite good.
Yes. Have you ever seen this, by the way? The Ted and Co. dinner show. It's award-winning. Let me hand this over to you, Arden.
Oh,
if you pick up any commission on this, right, but let me just explain what this is. It's called Ted & Co. The Dinner Show, and it's actually a fringe sellout show from 2011, and I believe it continues. And it's other actors who are from the Laugh Lines group, apparently, playing you. And I think, you know, Dermot Morgan comes out of it pretty well there. You know, Polly McLean, reasonable. Frank Hale, the fella playing you. I don't know how I feel about it, Ardal.
Yeah, I know. It's, well, I mean, you'll have to leave this with me. I'll go back. And they're doing a musical now in London and the West End, I think, as well.
Seriously?
There is a Father Ted musical. Wow. Which again, you know, you certainly don't think about the life beyond Ted, you know.
It's incredible, isn't it? Enjoy a three-course meal and a two-hour interactive comedy show brought to life by critically acclaimed cast of professional actors.
God, that would be so weird going to that.
You should just go.
Yeah.
Turn up. Now, Ardal, one last question for you. I'm writing a book at the moment called Slash Gordon, always starts with a pun. Oh. And it's about embarrassing encounters in the bathroom when you meet somebody famous. Ooh. Have you got a good bathroom story I can add to the book, please?
I do remember being at a Leeds kind of Players Awards do at Ellen Road a few years ago. And I remember in the bathroom, like, Darren Huckabee, who used to play for Leeds.
Great player.
He was standing beside me, but he was no hands. he was combing his hair he was at the urinal. I do remember that. But my favourite one, I think, would be... I'm also a big fan of Van Morrison. I love Van Morrison. And I used to collect stories about Van because they're legion, as you know. Like, he's notoriously grumpy.
And
read his biographies and everything. And, like, there's fantastic stories about him. And I had a few close encounters with him. But I do remember one time he was being honoured in Dublin. He was being inducted into a Hall of Fame type of thing. And Bob Geldof came over to do the honours. And Van had insisted on having a 25-piece orchestra.
Of course he had.
And I was talking to one of the guys in the orchestra. They were told to be there at midday.
Yeah.
And Van turned up at 10 to 7. And he gave them a list of 100 songs and he said, we'll be doing four of them. And then afterwards, I was backstage and I was in his toilet.
Yeah.
And when someone started banging on the door, and it was Van.
No.
And I was, who's in my toilet? Get out of my toilet! And I was in there just like, I was so excited and so afraid as well, but I was just more excited than anything, just that I have my own little Van story now.
Good little moment.
And then I came out and he sort of half recognised me, which was very flattering, and he kind of grabbed me in a bear hug and he gave me a headbutt. Do you know, I'd say that's a Scottish thing as well as an Irish thing. It's like a friendly, slightly passive aggressive type of greeting. But it's like butting heads. It's like two stacks. So he gave me a friendly headbutt. And forgive you.
What a lovely story, Ardal. Really appreciate it. Ardal Hanlon, thank you so much for popping in. Hopefully we can come and see you on the tour as well.
Cheers, Gordon. Thanks a million. Radio X.